Welcome to the Bible Study. I am your host for today, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. We're supposed to have Pastor Mark Hawkinson in studio with us today, but unfortunately he's stuck in traffic right now. And so, we'll just kind of get started. And when he shows up, we'll have joy of Pastor Hawkinson. So if you have your Bible, you might want to open it to Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield is the title of this one. Psalm 28. Boy, that music just keeps going. I'll go ahead and read it. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. When I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary, do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their work, and according to the evil of their deeds, give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hand. He will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus Christ, you are our rock. You are our shield. You are our salvation. Thank you for your word that you speak to us in words of law and gospel. Thank you for coming into this world and taking upon yourself all of our sins. We ask that you would bless the word this day, that you would speak to us, that we might have joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guess who just walked into the studio? Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Let me catch my breath, please.
He just ran right in the door.
I did. And somebody my age running, that's always a dangerous thing.
I'm glad we didn't have to go. We haven't had to call the paramedics yet.
Not yet.
Once you catch your breath, maybe.
No, we'll I'm fine. Okay. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
A bunch of traffic jams out there, I know.
Not one, but two I ran into.
Yeah.
And I wasn't counting on two traffic jams. So
no.
At any rate, we're running. I'm sorry about
Oh, that's okay. I just had time to read the psalm and offer a prayer. So we're at Psalm 28. By the way, out there, if you're listening, we'll let Pastor Hawkinson catch his breath. Area code 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. That's 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. Or nationwide at 800-730-2727. And as usual, I like to encourage you to get in line early rather than late, because it makes me sad when the program ends and I still have some of you on hold. I really, really appreciate your calls that much. So let's see here. Pastor Hawkinson, are you adjusted?
We're good.
Okay.
We're ready.
Do you need a cup of coffee or water or anything?
No, we're good. The last thing I need is a cup of coffee. I've got adrenaline is moving, so any more and I'll be going up the seat here. I don't know. So I always appreciate listening, and the Bible study is something that is a real nice gift to people.
Well, and Pastor Hawkinson, Mark Hawkinson's voice from Moments of Assurance every day here on Worldwide KFUO.
My privilege.
And it's our privilege to have you also.
Well, thank you. Now that we have that out of the way.
Psalm 28.
Okay.
Are you ready to jump into this?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Psalm 28, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit.
Ooh, Don't want to go there. That's for sure.
Sometimes it seems like God's deaf to us, though, doesn't it?
It does. When the answer to your prayer doesn't, if you read the psalm, you see that the psalmist was Psalmist David. We believe that David wrote this psalm. We see that he did get some immediate help. His fear was that he would be drawn in with the wicked, and that there would be nobody to stand by him, and that he didn't want God to abandon him when he had these temptations that would come along. And so this psalm comes down, Craig, through the centuries of time, a lot of time, from the time this psalm was written until this very moment, and reassures each Christian person that even when it seems like your prayers are not being answered, please just remember Romans chapter 11. You know, the depth, you know, of the riches, wisdom, and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. His paths are beyond tracing out. And I think that's what kind of keeps me going in my older age now. When I don't understand certain things that occur in life, I remember there is one who does. And so here's the psalmist. He doesn't want to be left alone, so he's calling out to the Lord, and he's saying, look, Lord, you're my rock. You're all I have in this situation. I'm going to depend on you, and I need some sort of, I need to know that I'm going to be helped here.
It's kind of interesting that David uses this rock here, and a rock, especially a large rock, is an immobile object. It just stays steady. It stays
true. It's immovable.
And so we run around in life with our hair on fire, screaming bloody murder.
Indeed, yes.
And yet God is faithful and true and unmovable, and he is who and what he has promised to be, right?
Very much so. He never not. I love double negatives. So he never not hears you. And so, in fact, the scriptures say, and I know you've read this too, how his ears are inclined. They're bent in your direction. Now, I look at it this way. Any God that loves me enough to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for all my many sins is certainly going to be tuned in and is going to be listening. He has a vested interest. You got to admit, the Lord has a vested interest in you through Jesus Christ.
I think one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is the Hebrews passage, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Absolutely.
Before the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down. Is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's seated. He's steady. He's a firm rock. He's not running around.
He's not pacing.
He's not
the floor.
Screaming, oh no, what are we going to do now? You know, or anything like that. He's seated. He is the rock. And when all of our life is upside down and inside out, we know that Christ has accomplished all victory. And he's seated. He's steady. And what a blessing that is to have a God who is steady, because we're so unstable.
Yeah, that's why St. Paul wrote, you know, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something you already have right now because of the cross and the empty tomb. Now we're talking about the ascension tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Jesus ascended into heaven, and there's only one thing left, and that is his return. So I'm kind of looking forward to don't know when that's going to be, but one of two things is going to happen to each listener tuned in this morning, Craig, and that is either Jesus is going to come first or he's going to call them home first. It's going to be one or the other. I don't know which is going to happen first, but the older I get, the more I think, well, it looks like I'm going to go first and then Jesus is going to come. But either way, you've won through the one who's already won.
And in the meantime, they'll pay taxes.
I got a call from my accountant yesterday saying, would you please give me a call? We need to make some adjustments for next.
What does that mean? So let's see here. David says, to you, O Lord, I call on my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. What do you make of that phrase, I become like those who go down to the pit?
Well, those who go down to the grave, those who go down to destruction. You don't want to go there, of course. But what he's doing is identifying with somebody who does. Because he's saying, look, Lord, if I don't have your presence, if I don't have your power to overcome this temptation to, you know, go this direction of evil or to go with the wicked, whatever. We're not told exactly what the situation was here. We don't have that knowledge. But that's why this psalm so beautifully applies to your life and to mine and to each listener, is because it's not exactly spelled out, and therefore it's easy to apply to one's life. And so, yeah, you don't want to go to destruction. You don't want to be like one who goes down to the grave. You know, you don't. David was despairing to the point of throwing in the towel.
314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. Nationwide, 800-730-2727. I can't help but to think in this Be Not Deaf to Me, Mark, that a lot of times in life we feel like God is deaf to us. And mm-hmm. we know a lot of pastors will say, God has basically three answers, yes, no, or not yet. And I tend to think that he has a fourth one, which sometimes we need to be mindful of, is none of your business what I'm up to here. I'm God. I'm doing this.
I would agree with that.
I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. It's none of your business. Just sit back and relax. Enjoy the show. And sometimes when we get so worked up in life, we want this new job, or man, I'm in love with that girl, but she's not in love with me, or, you know, so many of these things. And God says no, but we feel like he's being silent because we aren't hearing his yes. And then sometimes later on in life, sometimes it doesn't take long, but we realize the Lord is truly protecting us in his no many times, and we get all worked up and frothy over it. And then in hindsight, we say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for protecting me from myself, right?
He's our loving Heavenly Father. He knows what's best. Remember the program, I guess, I'm a little older than you are, so this dates back to the 50s. The program Father Knows Best.
Oh, yeah.
And you may have seen that one. And
reruns.
The reruns. And no matter what episode it was, you could be guaranteed that by the end of the show, the Father comes out shining. You know, he always makes the right decisions and comes out best. And like Ozzie and Harriet, that would be another one. And other sitcoms as well. But how much the more does not our Heavenly Father know what mm-hmm. is best? And will he not take care of the rest of your life and mine? And each listener, you bet he will. Even when it seems, as you say, I like that other answer that you came up with, none of your business, because that fits in with Romans chapter 11. Mm-hmm. You know, how inscrutable are his ways, mm-hmm. his paths beyond tracing out. So you try to, I mean, who has been the Lord's counselor?
Right,
you know,
right.
I can't counsel the Lord. I mean, he's it. He's where your spiritual buck stops today. And David knows that. He just needs to kind of be reminded of it. And as he prays, he is. And he does, as you get into the psalm a little more, you see that he did get some immediate help because he already thanked God. He mm-hmm. said, thank you for the help that he had received. And for a person who's struggling today, right now, maybe a listener is struggling through a marital discord or serious problems at work, or maybe they lost their job or a loved one. They lost a loved one, and it is very, very, very difficult. When you go to the Holy Scriptures, and I think you would agree with this, you do get immediate help from mm-hmm. God. You don't necessarily get an answer that you're looking for, but your faith is strengthened, and you are calmed down because of the mm-hmm. rock. See, you're yes. relying on the rock.
Right. And we see all of these stories of great men and women of Scripture, and we see how God works everything out, and that we can trust that he will do the same for us, that he will. And you know, Mark, sometimes in the midst of suffering, in the midst of illness, we realize that the only real healing is passing from this veil of tears into the new life. And so, you know, we find yes. that the Lord does take care of us in the long run, one way or the other. He'll right. take care of us.
Well, sure. I watched my mother. She died in 2010 at the age of 89. Mm. And osteoporosis. It was just a gradual declining, yeah. you know, and it got to the point where at the end she got pneumonia again. And she told me, she says, I just want to die. And she did, because she wanted relief from that suffering. And she was ready. She knew that the Lord would, you know, take care of her. So there reaches a time when this body of yours and mine, it's not going to last forever here on this earth. So, you know, we will, however. We do last forever.
And I think that takes us to verse 2 here. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Your most holy sanctuary, church?
Well, in this, yeah, I mean, in this, it could be. In this setting, it would be like the Holy of Holies. It would be like the Ark of the Covenant. It would be, you know, like the top of the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was. So you think of where the high priest went in there on an annual basis on a Day of Atonement. So toward that, when they had the tabernacle, so they would lift up their hands toward the tabernacle. You and I are able to lift up, the psalmist wrote, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help." So here, when somebody lifts up holy hands, what they're doing there is they're doing so in expectancy. They're doing so saying, "Hey, God, I know you're going to answer me in some way, perhaps even today, but perhaps not. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I'm saying thank you anyway, but these are my pleas. Please give me, you know, some encouragement and strength through your word." And he always does.
I think about lifting our hands in various ways. In prayer, sometimes we see the pastor at the altar lifting his hands
as
he prays. Mm-hmm. And then when we come to communion, there are those who receive communion on their tongue and those who receive it by holding out their right hand. And sometimes pastors get all frothy over silly things. Boy, we like to major in the minors, don't we, Mark?
Sometimes, yeah, that's right.
and so I had a pastor who was telling me, no, you must receive it on your tongue because it's like taking it if it's in your hand. And
I said, goodness sakes.
Well, no, but we come as empty-handed beggars.
There you go.
And so we're begging for a morsel from our Savior's table with our hand out. He said, "Oh yeah, I never really thought about it like that." But yeah. Once again, our empty hands, our praying hands, our begging hands in prayer, in the Lord's Supper, but with that expectancy that you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, forgiveness of sins and the assurance of the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. That's all in Holy Communion. All of that assurance there, the blood that was shed. And, you know, the reassurance that you get when you come back from Holy Communion, you ought to be smiling because you know that you have been not only forgiven, but renewed, restored, rejuvenated. I've heard that word spoken recently. And just you're given another chance at life, at being able to live for the Lord every single day.
"Hear my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help." Does God want us to cry out to him and for help and for mercy?
Yes, because he wants you and me to remember whom to thank. You know, it's just like you pray, and I taught this to my kids in confirmation, you know, in confirmation class, "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, you know, God will most likely give it to you anyway, even if you don't pray or ask for it, but he wants you to remember whom to thank. He wants you to know who it is that is your provider, not only of salvation, but of the meat and drink, the house and home, the family and the friends and spouse and everything else that you get. You know, it's all a gift from God. And the Lord's Prayer, that is a great reminder. It's a beautiful prayer that Jesus taught us.
I think also of the second commandment and Luther talking about it, that God has given us his name for prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, so that we might bring all of our griefs to him and all of our sorrows, and that we might ask him to be the great physician of all heart, soul, and mind, and that also to give thanks. And so he's given us his name. And that's how we kind of start this with the whole Yahweh thing. "To you, O Yahweh, I call." And so God has given us this name that we might call out to him. And he loves to hear the voice of his kids, doesn't he?
Well, of course he does. He redeemed these kids.
Right.
And sanctified them. And well, let's bring it one further step. Glorified.
Yeah.
And he's
absolutely
going to glorify us as well. So, like I say, the investment is tremendous there. And he just wants you and me to remember who it is to thank. And when you go to a Christian, let's say, well, you've done counseling as a pastor, I'm sure. Somebody, a parishioner comes to you and gets counseling. They walk out of your office relieved. "Oh, I feel so much better." You know, they've gotten it off their chest, and you've prayed with them. You've used scripture with them. They've been encouraged. And they come out of the office and they say to themselves, "Oh, what a relief." Well, imagine the arguments from the lesser to the greater, not that you're the lesser, but in this case you are. The greater is God. You know, think of how much the more a person can be relieved when they know that they're casting all their care upon him because he cares for them, you know, and there is a huge sense of relief when you confess your sins. You want to confess your sins to God. You want to confess it on Sunday morning, but you also want to confess directly to God every day when you and do Luther's morning prayer, you know, start out the day that way and say, you know, God, please keep me from sin. Please keep me from erring. And may all my doings be ordered by your governance.
Yeah. We're talking about Psalm 28 with Pastor Mark Hawkinson, if you'd like to call in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850. That's 314-821-0850, or nationwide, 800-730-2727. We just have a couple minutes left before we go to the break. Shall we move on to verse 3 and 4?
Sure, go right ahead. Sure, and then we can pick up on it, you know, on the other side of the break.
I guess we can do that.
You're the boss, though. I threw that in as a suggestion.
Okay. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, Yahweh, or the works of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil. What's David talking about here, Mark?
Well, not real sure there, because the text really doesn't say. Apparently there was, I did some study on this, and some kind of temptation that he had encountered, and that's something that can happen to you. It can happen to me. Well, whatever it might happen to be, he is simply describing these people that have tempted him as ones that come off with smiles on their faces and in all appearances, the good intentions, but behind the good intentions is the sword of Damocles, you know, a sword that's going to go through you, you know. And so watch out, because and you and I run into situations like that as well. It's easy to be drug into the wrong crowd, the wrong people to associate with, and then that can drag us away from the Savior. So there are some dangers there for sure. I can identify with the psalmist there. I think the listener can as well, because it can happen to anyone who lives this life out on this earth.
Well, we need to take a break here, but we're talking about Psalm 28. Once again, before we go to the break, 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, 800-730-2727 nationwide to join in on this conversation with Pastor Mark Hawkinson on the Bible study. We'll be back. Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
For our 75th anniversary, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service celebrates more than 500,000 lives transformed through ministries of mercy and justice. Celebrate this milestone through Refugee Sunday on June 22nd. Special LCMS resource kits are on the way to your congregation for planning, discussion, prayer, and action. Join us and thousands of other congregations as we walk with migrants and refugees to brighter tomorrows. LIRS.org.
Welcome back to the Bible study. I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio in studio with Pastor Mark Hawkinson, the voice, one of the voices here on KFUO of Moments of Assurance. And we're talking about Psalm 28. We left off at verses 3, 4, and 5 here, Mark.
Okay.
Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. I can't help but to thinking, David as a king, has got to be surrounded with all of these four-tongued, two-faced people. You know, in anything political, you run into this sort of thing. They speak evil in their hearts, but of course, when they're next to you, oh, hey, buddy, how are you? You're my best friend, you know.
Oh, yeah. You've encountered that. I have as well. I think of Absalom, you know, and Absalom's rebellion and the attempt to take over the throne. That may have been some of the background here. But again, we're not told exactly what the situation is here, but the Lord... Here, I'm going to throw out a word here, Craig, scheming, that the Lord hates scheming. And obviously there was some scheming done, whether it be to take the throne away from David there or whatever the situation might have been with him. But God absolutely despises when people do that, when they are, as you mentioned, one way to people, and then yet in their heart they have another agenda. They have an evil agenda, and David is saying here, Lord, don't let me be dragged off with these people, and don't let me become a part of that kind of evil. I don't want any part of it, but for some reason or another, I'm being tempted by particular people. There are particular people that I'm coming into contact with, and that can happen to you. It can happen to me. You start associating with somebody that you really like a lot, but yet they have values that are not exactly Christian, or they have things that they do that you know you can't participate in. And, you might have run into that back in college. I did. You know, there are certain things that before I got to the seminary, that is, and certain things that you didn't want to participate in. And then if that meant losing the friend, then so be it. You know, but whatever the situation is, you pray that you not succumb to evil. That's for sure.
Verse 4 here, give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Mark, is it fair to pray that for someone else when you know that your own hands are unclean and your own thoughts and your own heart is unclean?
Oh, I don't take this vindictively. I don't think this has anything to do, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, you know, and I don't sense any vindictiveness here. What I sense in David's prayer is justice. He just plain wants justice to be done. He's not vindictive. And sure, David can look at himself, and he knows that he has the sin of lust. He has other sins that he's been guilty of and so forth. That is neither here nor there. All right. He's confessed his sins to God. He knows it. He just wants the Lord to deal with these people in such a way that they don't become a threat to him, that they don't pull him down. He's willing to let the Lord pull them down. That's okay, because this is justice. It's not vindictiveness. There's a difference.
I kind of see this as a natural law kind of thing also, where God has set up consequences. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You want to go out and sleep around, enjoy the diseases, enjoy the unwanted pregnancies.
Make your bed, you got to sleep in it.
Enjoy the heartbreak, enjoy all of that misery that will go with it. You think that you're having fun, but sooner or later, this will catch up to you.
Yeah, and don't blame the Lord.
No, you've done this, right? It isn't that funny. Whenever someone does something good, they want to take the credit. Whenever they do something stupid and they pay the consequence, they blame God.
They don't want to. Yeah,
right?
They blame God.
Like, why are you doing this to me?
Exactly. Yeah. Just look at me. I'm a pretty good person, you know?
So I'm kind of thinking about David saying, hey, you know what? These guys are acting evil. Give them their recompense. Go ahead. You know, whatever it is that they sow, let them reap that.
Exactly. I believe that's exactly what he is saying there. There's nothing, no evil in his heart there. He just wants justice to be done. Give them their due reward. That's the word that's used there. Give them their due reward because they do not regard the works of the Lord. And David does. There's a huge difference there. David does regard the works of the Lord, and so he doesn't want to be, doesn't want any association or any part of that.
Verse 5, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. What do you make of that passage?
Well, this may have been, as the Lutheran Study Bible says, and other commentators seem to agree, it may have been an attack on the monarchy, that they didn't regard the Lord, you know, because the Lord set the monarchy up. You know, the people wanted kings, and God says, okay, you want kings? We're going to have kings. And so they did. The Lord is the one who is responsible for setting that up. And these other people here, they didn't respect the Lord. They didn't have regard for the works of the Lord and the result of the work of his hands. So guess what? Now he's going to tear them down and build them up no more. Mm-hmm. And so we're back to justice being done there.
I think about, as you were talking about that the people said, we want a king.
Yeah.
And God said, you're not going to like it.
That's
they said,
right.
No, we want one. You know, all the other kids, the pagans down the street, they got one and they're really cool.
You know, right? That's good. Yeah.
And God says, well, once again, there's going to be a natural consequence to this. Your sons will be drafted into the military. You're going to have to pay taxes. You're not going to like this. No, but we really want. Okay, if you really want one, but you were warned, right?
Exactly. Right. So again, whose fault is that? That isn't God's fault. Don't throw that back on the Lord. No.
Right.
So.
Anything else in verses 3, 4, and 5 that you wanted to touch on before we move on to 6?
I don't think so. I think we've pretty well covered that. Just a couple of quick things. One would be that I think it's easy sometimes to hypocritically judge other people. And if they're going through very difficult times, maybe, you think of the terrible tornado that came through Joplin, Missouri, for example. I saw a video of that. It was 2:00 in the morning. I couldn't sleep, so I turned on the Weather Channel, and that's what they had on there. And it's just horrific. It just, I'm a weather spotter like Buzz is, and here at the station. And I've only seen 2 tornadoes in my lifetime, but not anywhere, not an F5. And this was an F5 that hit there. And just, it'd be easy to judge and say, well, my neighbor's home was flattened and mine wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord was good to me, and apparently they must not be living right or something. Or there must be something in their life that. So I think it's have to be careful not to make judgments on people just because they're going through trials doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love them. Yeah, you know, the scriptures say many are the afflictions of the righteous, that is, those of faith. So while what you say is true, you do reap what you sow. If you're going to dabble in iniquity and in sin, you're going to have to end up reaping some of the results of that. And yet at the same time, when bad things happen, you know, who wrote the book, Bad Things Happen to Good People? Why? Or was it, I forget the guy's name.
The rabbi
Kuchnick or whatever his name is.
They tell me his name 100 times.
Yeah, and I can't remember it either. But there is a reason that the Lord allows certain things to happen, and the result always is getting closer to him, that's for sure. So if good things are happening, praise God. Thank him for the blessings. If tough times are happening, don't think that the Lord doesn't love you, because nothing could be further from the truth.
And Jesus talks about, the Tower of Siloam that fell on the people? And he
That's
says,
right.
He says,
yes.
Do you think that they were any worse than you, really?
Exactly.
And I find it interesting because David, who is a really sinful guy, who is a man after God's own heart, and I think that he's a man after God's own heart because he repents, because he turns back to the Lord, and so God embraces him in his love. But David prays that his enemies would be dealt with like this, and yet when David receives his recompense, he falls before the Lord and he confesses, I deserve this. Done this.
Remember when Nathan came to him and said, you are the man.
Right.
For him regarding
Ata
his...
Ha-ish.
Yeah, the double sin of murder and adultery. You know, get rid of that guy, you know, David was saying regarding him. But no, you're the man. And so that's the law talking there for sure.
So even though in this life we may receive these temporal consequences, does God count them against us and have eternal consequences for our sins?
No, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There isn't even a 10% backlash there. There's no backlash. Your sins are totally forgiven. And on Judgment Day, God looks at his Son. He doesn't look at your sin because all of your sin was placed on him.
But Pastor Hawkinson, that's not fair.
What? Are you the devil's advocate now?
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer became a Christian and he killed and ate people, and I've never done that. Don't you think he should go to hell while I go to heaven? Isn't that fair?
Well,
because I've never eaten anyone.
Well, that goes back to the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It you know, it doesn't seem, and it also goes back to the fact that Romans 11 kicks in again, and how inscrutable are his judgments and ways, his paths beyond tracing out. So can't always figure God out, and one should not try, but one should completely trust that the Lord is with them, and there's a difference there.
Indeed. You pass my test.
Oh, okay. The litmus test?
You get an A for the day.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I'll take it. Let's move on. Do I get an apple, too?
Maybe later. I didn't see any in the vending machine today.
Okay.
But
all right. Okay.
Let's move on to verse 6 here. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. We have Cheryl on the line.
Oh, that's right. I see that.
She'd like to talk about verse 6 here. Welcome to the Bible study, Cheryl from Indianapolis.
Thank you. And I want to say first that I greatly appreciate the moments of assurance.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Scripture verses, it's just always just what I need.
Well, it's my pleasure, and appreciate it.
Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. Whenever I hear the word mercy, I think, oh, wow, we get what we don't deserve. And I was thinking of Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that word Abba, that connects us so closely. We get the inheritance.
Right.
And
yeah, the word Abba is pretty neat. It kind of like saying, hello, Dad. There's an element of personalness, and yet there's an element of awe, A-W-E as well, awe. And so both are kind of true with that word Abba.
Yeah, we get what we don't deserve, and it's all because of where it says in Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we
it's beautiful.
Stricken, smitten, and it goes on and on. All we like sheep have gone astray, but he carries us in his
he does.
Arms because he first carried our griefs and our sorrow.
And the neat thing about that, Cheryl, is the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who else could that be but Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And so here we have some 7 centuries before Jesus comes on the scene. You know, obviously, that's what it refers to. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You. Appreciate it.
Once again, those numbers are in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, or nationwide, 800-730-2727. And we have some open lines right now. Pastor Hawkinson, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my plea for mercy. Hasn't God promised to do exactly that?
Yes, and here David is saying, look, he just got immediate help. He prayed, and he got immediate help in some way. May not have been exactly the answer that he is looking for, but he's reminded that the Lord hears his voice, and the Lord hears each listener's voice today. There's no way that he can't. First place, as you know, as a pastor, Craig, you know that the Lord is omniscient. There's nothing that he does not know about you, and it scares me. not from your standpoint. No, from my standpoint.
Yeah,
no, he knows.
Me too. Me too.
He knows all about me, but he has forgiven all my sins, and that doesn't give me a license to sin. I mean, some people think that, I'm forgiven. I'll put one foot in, my first parish was in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee. So I can put, you could go to State Street, put one foot in Virginia, the other foot in Tennessee.
Oh.
But you can't have it both ways as a Christian, because if you think that you can dabble around in darkness and in sin, problem is, just like the psalmist David is concerned about here, don't let me be dragged down with the workers of iniquity here. And it'd be so easy to head on over to, you know, to be dragged into that. And you can't have it both ways. And that doesn't mean that if you've done sin in your life, that, again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, and you get to start over constantly.
You reminded me with that. My first call was a dual parish in New England, and I had a church
in... Oh, what
in,
town?
New London, Connecticut, and Ashaway, Rhode Island. And wow. And people say, oh, two different states. You must have quite a commute. It was about 15 minutes. And as a matter of fact, my church in Rhode Island, I was told, I never actually saw the surveyor's report or anything, but I was told that about 10 feet of our property was in Connecticut.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
But Connecticut didn't tax us for that.
Oh, well, that's
good. Thank you, Connecticut,
for
that.
That's a 10-foot gift there. A 10-foot gift.
Okay. Exactly. Oh, and the government did not tax you for anything. That's truly amazing.
Yes.
So,
it's a miracle.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. Pastor Hawkinson, the Lord is my strength and my shield.
You know what you get there? You think almost in a sports world where you have offense and defense. You know, one player is doing defense and there's another doing offense. And so the Lord is my strength. That's offense. And my shield, that would be defense. So you kind of get both going on there. You need the, you know, St. Paul said, put on the full armor of God. And I'm not going to list all the different parts of the, you know, of the armor. But a lot of people keep the sword of the Spirit in its sheath and don't take it out and use it. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God.
Right.
So when the evil one, the devil, tempts you and says, everyone else is doing it, you know, everyone else, go right ahead. Have fun. You know, life is short. Everybody else is doing it. Go right ahead. You'll know. Nobody's going to know. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? I mean, God knows.
Yes, he does.
That's all I need to know, is that God knows. And so the law there acts as a curb to stop you from sinning. And, of course, you do just what the psalmist does here. You rush to the Savior's loving arms and say, help me, please help me in this situation. And he always comes through his blessed word and sacraments.
I find it interesting that David, he spends a lot of time whining, but then he always comes around to, oh, well, God's going to take care of it, so I'll rejoice in him, right?
Yeah. It's
kind of interesting that 151, 152, something like that.
Yeah.
Psalms, and so many of them, he's upset, he's worked up, he's agitated, and of course, being an artist, he says, well, I guess I'll write a song.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he goes full Beatles on it and writes a psalm for us.
Yeah, it's his sinful nature coming out there, his whining. You know, you whine, I whine, we all whine from time to time. And that's no rhyme. But at any rate, you know, Katie Luther, I read this recently. I'm sure you've read this as well, Craig. You know, Martin Luther was so depressed and down in the dumps, Katie went up to him and says, you would think that God died.
Ah.
And all of a sudden, Luther came out of his depression and says, you're right. And he, you know, wrote about the joy and all of that again. But it took Katie to, you know, get him back to his senses. And so, see, even the best saints of God's people are not immune to depression, to despair. And in this case, David himself. Mm. And that's why it says here in verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. God is not going to turn a deaf ear to a Christian person who comes in earnestness. There's no way he's going to turn a deaf ear to you today.
Let's talk to Marilyn in Granite City, Illinois. Marilyn, welcome to the Bible study.
Well, good morning, pastors.
Good morning.
I just wanted to comment to both of you, if perhaps you have not been aware of this book, The Mission at Nuremberg. And this is a biography of one of your own, right there from the seminary. And in fact, one who used to talk on KFUO at the very beginning, and he gave Pastor Moments of Comfort, which is so very similar to what you do.
I've heard that. Yes, I have heard of him. And Pastor
Henry Gehrke.
Henry Gehrke, that's right.
And this man was in the United States Army as a chaplain during World War II. At the end of the war, not having been home for a couple of years, looking forward to being back with his wife and children, and he was commissioned to be a pastor there at Nuremberg, where the most heinous criminals ever that we know in the history of mankind were interred. And he went to God, how can I ever reach their soul? He knew the horrors that they had committed. He had actually even been to Dachau, the extermination camp. And he was not looking at their evil deeds. He was wanting to reach their souls through the gospel.
That's right.
And you
sure
know that he did succeed mm-hmm with four of these men. And he rebaptized them, which really was a surprise to me. I thought once baptized, always baptized. But, of course, they were, and they were young men, which also surprised me. They were in the early 20s. But he did reach the souls of at least four of them before they were hanged. And I'll tell you, it is so moving. And it's a story, I think, that you, a lot of history there. And I really think that you would want to read it and learn more about this man and what he did.
Certainly.
To reach the souls, because that's our job here on Earth.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Marilyn.
You, Marilyn. Appreciate
and
it very much.
You're absolutely right. It's a fantastic book. I look forward to reading it. Pastor Rod Zwanitzer has done a review with the author here on
yeah
Book Talk on KFUO. So if you get a chance to look that up, please do. Let's talk to Jan in Atlanta real quick. Jan, we're short on time, so what's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking the call. I think there's a distinction to be made between whining and wailing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I tend toward the melancholy, the gray side. And I don't know that that's so much a character flaw as a human trait that I was born with. And I'm looking at verse 7. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him." I can't praise God like you would. And that made me think of the Jeremiah 9, verse 20. "Hear, O woman, the word of the Lord, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach to your daughters a lament, and each to her neighbor a dirge." When we understand the gravity of our sin, it just heightens our praise. But it's the sinner that needs a Savior.
Mm-hmm. Almost certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Jan. Thanks
yeah
so much.
Right.
Whining instead of wailing. Well, I'm a whiner. That's
yeah. Well, I think, no, I've never heard you whine, but I'm not around here very much. But
yeah, talk to my wife.
But I think I know what Jan was getting at. You wail, you know, because your sin, it's great, but at the same time, look at David. He comes out and he says, "My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him." And so he was just very thankful that the Lord had heard his prayer and that in some way he was going to be helped in this situation.
With just about 3 minutes left, let's move on to the last two verses. I think it'll work out just right. Verse 8, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Oh, some good shepherd imagery there, Mark.
Oh, yeah, look at Psalm 23, and you think of he was the anointed as the king, but if you look at the context here, you have to say that David is also referring to the people of God and the Israelites of that day. We are the new Israel. You know, what David is saying there applies down through the centuries of time to this very day. Bless your heritage or bless your inheritance. And we have inherited, the inheritance would be, of course, heaven. And so we are very much blessed. And we think of how the Lord shepherds us in our lives. When we fall down, he lifts us up just like a real shepherd, where a sheep has fallen down, like maybe just a baby sheep, and it slipped and it fell. And so the earthly shepherd picks that sheep up and carries it. Hmm. And so, you know, our Lord, as our shepherd, does the same thing. He picks us up when we have fallen down, and he himself carries us.
Fantastic stuff. Real quick, Brenda from Troy, Missouri, we just have a few seconds left. What's on your mind, Brenda?
I just wanted to thank KFUO for their programming, and I especially wanted to thank Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, but I depend on these fine people here like Craig who have hired me. So I depend on them to continue. So talk to them and tell them to keep me.
Well, Mark's going nowhere as far as we're concerned. He's a treasure to KFUO. Thank you, Brenda, for your call.
Thank you, Brenda. God bless. Thanks.
We have just a few seconds left here. The Lord is the strength of his people, a saving refuge of his anointed. Are we the anointed?
Yes, I think both. I think he was referring to himself, and I think anointed like set apart. Mm-hmm. We were set apart for God through Jesus Christ. From that standpoint, we are his anointed. We are also his heritage, his inheritance. What more do you want from God? I mean, he's telling us all these things, and there is just no reason to worry about your life today, whatever situation you might be facing, even serious illness or what. Because the Lord, he'll carry you through here and there to the next place, and in heaven, in eternity, forever.
He will indeed. And if you're a whiner like me, or if you wail for mercy from the Lord, remember these words. He is the strength of his people, the saving refuge, and you always have a place to go in Christ Jesus. Thanks so much for being with us, Pastor Hawkinson.
Enjoyed it. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless.
Thank you. Same to you.
Stay tuned for Andy Bates with Faith and Family.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.